The words of God given to us today are Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. It is page 121 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. A few days ago, I read a newspaper article about a person who found her lost daughter in 44 years. Her 6-year-old daughter threw a tantrum at the market, crying for her mom to buy a pair of floor-printed shoes. The woman only had a few coins, so she tried to coax the child, but she failed. The owner of the shop, who saw the scene, gave the shoes for the amount of money the woman had. The girl loved the shoes. When she came home after playing outside, she would polish her shoes and kept them neatly at the front door. But one day, her daughter, who left wearing the shoes, did not come home. The woman went everywhere looking for her daughter, but was unable to find her. For 2 years after she reported her child missing, she went to the police station every day. When she heard that she could find her daughter if she went to a shaman, she did, after taking the lump sum of money she got from her father from selling a cow. But she was unable to find her daughter. The article said the woman found her daughter 15 years later in 1990. She received a call that there was someone in the city of Daegu that was similar to her daughter, and the girl did look like her daughter did when she was young. The girl called the woman mom. But the girl, despite all the care she got, was unable to fit into the family. After 3 years, the girl said she lied because when she saw the woman, she wished she was her mom. This came as an immense shock to the woman, but she accepted it and helped the girl find a job and also get married. The article said her real daughter had been on a train heading to Jecheon from Cheongju, went to an orphanage, and ended up being adopted in Virginia in the U.S., She got married and became a nurse, and her daughter was graduating from medical school. Her mom recently changed her status on her mobile messenger to, "I have found my daughter." A few years back, I read another article about a mother and daughter in the U.S., who met after being separated for 38 years. A 38-year-old woman named LaSonia Mitchell Clark, who lived in Ohio, was adopted when she was born. She later found out through the Ohio Department of Health that her biological mother's name was Francine Simmons and found her by looking her up on Facebook. The shocking fact was that they were working at the same company. Clark had been with the company for about 4 years, and her mother had worked for the company for much longer, but they didn't know of each other. It turned out that Simmons' other daughter and Clark's sister also worked for the same company, and that they lived about 6 minutes away from Clark. They were unable to find each other, even though they were so close to each other. In Luke chapter 15, there are three parables. Last week, we looked at the parable of the shepherd who looked for his sheep. Today, we will look at the parable of the woman who finds a lost coin in her house. The parable of the shepherd looking for his sheep is a story of men outside of the house. The parable of the woman who finds the coin is about women inside the house. When Jesus spoke, among those who listened were not only men, but also women. When Jesus spoke about the shepherd who found his sheep, the women could have said to themselves, "That is a story for men. It doesn't really have to do with me." Men and women have differing fields of interest and use different forms of communication. Men like talking about politics, the economy, sports, and their hobbies. And women talk about everything with the exception of some subjects men commonly talk about. One topic women talk about is food and recipes. Luke is referred to as the gospel for the Gentiles, the gospel for children, and the gospel of the Holy Spirit in prayer. It is also referred to as the gospel for a woman. Luke records of women's practices of faith. Among the four Gospels, only Luke records about the conception of Elizabeth and Mary. Matthew records the Virgin Mary giving birth, but it is not focused on Mary, but her husband Joseph. The story about the widow in Nain, who holds a funeral for her only son, the story of the woman who poured perfume on Jesus' feet, the story of women who gave their possessions to Jesus, and the stories of Mary and Martha are only recorded in the book of Luke. Luke also records stories of women in other books of Gospels. The story of the woman who finds her lost coin is also only recorded in the book of Luke. When Jesus spoke about the parable of the lost sheep, the woman who listened may not have been so attentive, but may have been more so when Jesus spoke about the parable of the lost coin. But do you understand the parable of the lost coin? You could light a lamp and sweep the house to find a coin. But would you invite your neighbors and hold a feast because you found a coin? The parable of the lost son we will look at in coming weeks. The father holds a huge feast when his second son returns home. We can understand this. If a child you long waited for returned home, you would hold 10 feasts if circumstances allowed. You can also understand that the shepherd in the parable of the lost sheep held a feast when he found the lost sheep. At the time, people bred sheep not for mutton, but for the wool. So the sheep and shepherd would spend about 10 years together. So there was a relationship between the sheep and the shepherd. When David committed adultery with Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah and a soldier in David's army, and when she got pregnant, David attempted to get Uriah killed by sending him to a battlefield. When Uriah's funeral was over, David brought Bathsheba to his palace as his wife. After this, God sent the prophet Nathan to David to tell him a story. There were two people living in a village, one who was rich and another who was poor. The rich man had many cows and sheep, but the poor man only had one young sheep. The young sheep grew up with the man's children, eating with them and sleeping where they slept. The sheep was like a daughter to the owner. One day, a visitor came to the rich man. The rich man did not want to kill from his own herd to feed the visitor, so he took the sheep of the poor man. When Nathan reached this part of the story, David was so angered, he shouted that the man should be killed and that he should pay back four times as much. Nathan then told David, "You are the rich man." If a shepherd were to find a sheep he was so close to as the poor man was to his sheep, he would indeed be joyful and hold a feast. But it is hard to understand that a person would hold a feast for finding a lost coin. Let us say that you got a call from a neighbor or friend. If the person said, "I found a 501 coin that I lost, and I'm so happy. Would you come to my house for dinner?" Would you go? Would you go if the person said he or she found a 5,000 won or 50,000 won bill? Probably not. You may feel this is strange to the extent that you may shun this person if you're to meet him or her again. Christians who have been attending church for some time will be familiar with the parable of the lost lamb or the parable of the lost son. You would have learned about them in Sunday school. But the parable of the lost coin is less familiar. Some people may ask, was there such a parable? But there is sufficient reason for a person to be joyful after finding a lost coin and holding a feast. The parable of the lost coin is similar to that of the lost sheep, but is different in many aspects. Verse 8 says, suppose a woman had 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? The homes of Palestinians at the time were quite different from what our homes look like today. In the region, the temperature was very high in the daytime and dropped significantly at night. So houses needed to be built to be able to keep out the heat and cold. Most of the common people's homes, which could not have cooling or heating facilities, only had one round window that was about 18 inches or 45 centimeters wide. So the homes were dark even during the daytime, which meant a light was needed to be able to work. And the floors of poor people's homes were made of flat stones. So there were spaces between the stones where coins or pieces of broken plates could fall. Archaeologists of today estimate the period a person lived by finding coins in the house that fell in the spaces between the stones. At the time, people also put reeds and dry grass on the floor to try to keep the floor warm. So it was difficult to find a small thing when they ended up on the floor. So the woman had to light a lamp and sweep the floor to be able to find the coin. Today's passage tells about how happy the woman was to find the coin. Verse 9 says, and when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin. This would mean that the coin meant more to her than what it was worth. If it only meant as much as it was worth, she wouldn't have called her friends and neighbors to tell them about it. The silver coin in the passage was of Greek currency. The Roman version would be denarius. These represent the same units, which was the wage for a grown man's day of labor. So the lost coin was not worth so little. It would be worth at least 50,000 won. But the woman was not happy because of what the money was worth. At the time, when poor men got married, they gave 10 silver coins to the woman they were to marry as a gift. The woman would then make holes in the coins to make a necklace or headband to wear. To women, this was a precious gift that they kept dearly. If they didn't do so, the husbands would think that their wives did not love them anymore. They even went as far as thinking the woman could have gotten a lover with the money. The coins at the time were thought to be possessions that needed to be kept well. Even if a person had so much debt that all of his All of his or her possessions were to be seized. The creditor could not take the coins. The coins could only be used if the woman's husband died and she was suffering from extreme poverty. To the woman, the 10 silver coins represented her husband's love for her and her love for her husband. There are a few things we need to think about in this parable. First is that there is a number that people considered needed to be filled. For Jews, the number 10 is a number representing communities. When the Jews built a synagogue, there needed to be at least 10 men. When they established a church, they needed at least 10 to 20 people. When there were less people, they made a place of prayer instead of a church. To this woman, missing one coin was the same as missing two coins or five coins. Only when she has 10 are the coins valid representations of love between the couple. If one were missing, the coins would lose their meaning as a token of love and only hold value as a currency. The reason Jesus told this parable was not because the money was so valuable, but because of the meaning it represented. If the parable of the lost sheep meant to tell that all lives are precious, but that among them some hold greater urgency, the lost coin parable means that there's a number that needs to be filled. When I was in middle school, I collected stamps. So I would go to places that sold stamps and also swap stamps with friends. When stamps were issued to commemorate events, I would go to the post office. And once I went early in the morning to line up to get the stamp. If I had gotten a sheet composed of 4 stamps and kept it in an album, but someone used one of the stamps, the sheet would no longer have value. A sheet of 4 stamps needs to have 4 stamps. Until the second coming of Jesus, there's a number of people that need to come before God. We cannot know the scale, but God is waiting for the number to be filled. We're living as witnesses of the Lord to fill that number. The second point we need to think about is that the woman lost the coin inside her house. The lost sheep had left the pen, and the second son was lost to the father because he left their home. But the coin was inside the house, but still it is lost. If the woman does not have the coin, it is lost, whether it is in her house or not. To find lost souls, overseas mission trips are important. Tens of thousands of people die across the world every day. Most of these people will not know God, and many of them would never have heard about the gospel during their lives. This is why missionaries go to places across the world to spread the gospel. And there are countless people here in Korea that do not know God. So, at our places of work, in our neighborhood, and in groups we are part of, we live as witnesses of the Lord. What we should remember is that lost souls are not only outside of the pen. People in the church could also be lost souls. This is why the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Romans to the people at the church in Rome. Romans chapter 1:15 says, "That is why I'm so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome." People at the church in Rome are not people who do not believe in God. But he sent them the book of Romans with wishes that they live lives under the reign of God. If you come to church every Sunday for worship, but do not live under God's reign, and do not confess Jesus as our Savior and God, as our Shepherd, then you could be a lost soul. The third point to remember is that the lost coin is in a dark place. The woman lit a lamp to find the lost coin. This is because the house was dark. A life that does not hear the Lord speaking and does not receive the guidance of the Lord will be full of darkness, however fancy, wealthy, and powerful it may appear. In contrast, even if it seems like you're passing a tunnel of darkness and a valley of tears, if you hold on to the Lord, your life will be filled with light. This is because Jesus came as the light of this world. How many people over the past 2,000 years do you think would have begun a new life by meeting Jesus? Jesus tells of why he came to the world in the following verse. John chapter 12, verse 46 says, "I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness." The fourth point is that faith is not finding, but being found. You all know the term eureka. It was used by the ancient Greek philosopher, mathematician, and scientist Archimedes. It means, "I have found." Archimedes was born and raised in today's city of Syracuse, Sicily, in Italy. One day, King Hiero II of Syracuse gave a goldsmith pure gold to make a crown, but heard later that the goldsmith had substituted gold with some silver in the crown. The king asked Archimedes to determine whether this was true, and he was able to do so in a bathtub. When he saw water overflow from the tub when he climbed into it, he knew. Archimedes went out naked, so excited by his discovery that he forgot to dress, crying, "Eureka!" The woman says something similar when she finds the coin. I found the lost coin, she said. The coin did not find the woman. The woman found the coin. Faith is not meeting the Lord after seeking to meet him. It is accepting that God came seeking us who are lost. In the 1980s in Korea, there was a movement to spread the gospel to other parts of the world. People came up with the phrase, "I found new life, Jesus." I think this was meant to say, let us spread the truth and life, Jesus Christ, to others. I remember wearing a round aluminum badge that had the phrase, "I found," on a world map. But to be more precise, we should say not "I found," but "I have been found." We did not find the Lord, but He found us. Hymn 305 is "Amazing Grace." The lyrics of the first verse say, "I once was lost, but now am found. In Korean, it appears to say that because I found life, I see light. But the English lyrics tell, "I once was lost, but now I'm found." Was blind, but now I see. This is because it is not I who found, but the Lord who found us. About 3 years ago, in September 2016, there was a fire in a five-story building nearby our church. A man in his 20s who was angry after his girlfriend broke up with him was behind the arson. A 28-year-old man called An Chi-bom, who lived on the fourth floor, left the building and called 911. He then went back in. Because it was 4 a.m. in the morning, other residents were asleep. An rang their doorbells or banged on their doors to wake them up. There were 21 studio apartments in the building, but there were no fatalities. But An was found unconscious on the fifth floor leading to the rooftop after inhaling toxic gases. He was taken to the hospital but died 11 days later. Wouldn't he have wanted to live? After he came out of the building, he would have thought about the people sleeping inside. So he went to each door, each house, and banged on the doors. How urgent would he have been doing so, shouting, "There's a fire, get up! There's a fire, get outside now!" He was breathing in toxic fumes, but with the thought that he should be saving others, he continued to bang on the doors and then lost his life. The Mapo District Office and the Seoul Metropolitan Government awarded him for his bravery, and he was put on the list of people who died for a righteous cause and buried at a cemetery designated for such people. We really are undeserving, but God had pity on us and came to us before others. As a result, we have become children of God and earned eternal life, but Jesus died on the cross to save our sins. Let us look back at our lives. Do you see the Lord being joyful after finding us? Do you see the Lord still holding a lamp and sweeping to find the people that are yet to be found? Is he sweeping to find us? There is no life that would be better built together in Christ than to live in him. Wouldn't it be a meaningful life to work as a channel for God to find the people that are lost or forgotten? Let us live this week remembering the Lord and walking with him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you told the prophet Zephaniah, "The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing." However generously we evaluate ourselves, we are just a mess and full of shortcomings. Thank you for coming to us, being joyful for finding us and loving us. We cannot measure your love that made you lie in a manger and suffer on the cross to give us eternal life. Let us remember that we did not seek you, but that you sought us, like parents who desperately seek a child they have lost. For the woman, when she lost one of the 10 coins, all of her coins lost value. Let us remember that we are such existences for God. If there are people within our church that still need to be found, make us channels for this purpose. Like finding a lost soul is a joy for you, let it also become a joy for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.